Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. Three young pro-independence Puerto Rican activists and artists in New York, Christopher Torres, Tania Frontera, and Julio Pavon Jr., have been ordered to appear before a Brooklyn federal grand jury late last week. Their lawyers successfully filed a motion to postpone their court dates as thousands in New York, Puerto Rico, and across the country rallied in support of three young activists and calling on the U.S. Justice Department, FBI, and the U.S. government to end the harassment and prosecution of pro-independence Puerto Rican activists and organizations. We're joined by Panama Alba, longtime veteran organizers from New York City. Welcome to the show, Panama.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, and hello to your listening audience. I also have with me here Sammy Sanchez. He was one of the grand jury resistors 25 years ago, the last time that we faced this type of repression.
Well, that's great. That's great to have Samuel on the show, too.
Yes, he's right here. Thank you.
So why don't we begin, Panama? You know, this is obviously, if we're going to start anywhere, we'll probably have to start 500 years, and then probably we're going to go back to 1898 when the U.S., you know, basically thwarted, you know, the independence movement for Puerto Rico. But let's talk about this recent rise of subpoenas that have, at least right now, are looking toward Christopher Torres, Tania Frontera, and Julio Pavon, who've been ordered to appear from the grand jury. In your take, what's this about?
Well, you know, there is a long history of repression against particularly the sector of Puerto Rican independence movement, the political sector that advocates for independence. Now, this, you know, the answer to the question is not a simplistic one, but there are a number of factors that come into play here. Okay, when we talk about Puerto Rico, you have to take for granted as a given that it is a colony. Mm-hmm. Number one. Over the years, the only sector that publicly advocated against colonialism was the independent sector. The strides that we have made is that today, even the pro-statehood party and the Commonwealth Party have come to recognize that Puerto Rico is a colony. That is, in Puerto Rico, that's a given, but it's not necessarily a given in the public perception here in the United States. It has also come to the point where even the White House, which has a working group on Puerto Rico, has acknowledged that Puerto Rico is a colony. And thirdly, that you have that for the first time in the many, many years that we've been going to the United Nations around this issue, the Decolonization Committee for the first time recommended that the case of Puerto Rico be brought before the General Assembly as a colony, as a colonial question that needs to be addressed. That's in the general framework in which this new wave of grand jury repression is taking place. What you have domestically, and by domestically I mean Puerto Rico, is that, as you well know, the FBI began implementing what they call their strategic plan for Puerto Rico, written in 2004, with the what culminated in the assassination of Heriberto Ojeda Rios, the commander of the Ejército Popular Boricua, Los Macheteros, on September 23rd, 2005. Mm-hmm. Now, when those actions were taken, we believe that they dared to be as blatant as they were in Puerto Rico because their assessment was that only a very small percentage of the population was going to be outraged. Mm-hmm. And it was a great miscalculation. In fact, the response of the people of Puerto Rico was across political party lines, across class lines in Puerto Rico. It was mass outrage. This left the FBI with a very serious credibility problem. And since then, from that point forward, they have been actively engaged in a campaign to try to restore the public trust towards whatever public trust there is towards them as an entity. And the way they've been doing that has been, for example, they've launched an investigation into corruption in the governor's office. They've launched an investigation into police corruption. and murders in Puerto Rico. Things that had not been done before by the FBI are being done now. Mm-hmm. In the aftermath of the assassination of Filiberto Ojeda Rios, other factors have come to light. And that is that in the operation in which they assassinated El Comandante, they utilized private military contractors. Mm-hmm. They used their military base. They used their contractors' helicopters. And we believe even operatives were part of the attack. All of these are things that the FBI needs to be held accountable for. As far as their continuous presence in Puerto Rico. One aspect of why the FBI has launched the Justice Department at this time has also to do with the fact that probably the best defense is the offense on their part. Mm-hmm. And because of all the reasons that I've mentioned before, they have chosen to go on the offensive again against the Puerto Rican independence movement. In the hopes of diverting attention from them and their conduct in Puerto Rico. In fact, the attack is an attack not on the macheteros, it's not an attack even on the independence movement. It's an attack on the people of Puerto Rico. It's an attack on the right of the people of Puerto Rico to have legitimate independence as an option on the table and to be at the table. At this time, when the U.S. government has to address the issue of the status of Puerto Rico. Hello?
No. So that's great, Panama. I think you hit it right on. And I also think that in many ways, there's the other sort of conflicting issue, or things that are adding to this, is obviously September 11th and what the FBI and its increased powers. And I think in some ways also the charge that the movement in Puerto Rico has been strong, from freeing the prisoners to the struggles in Vieques to, I know right now there's major struggles in San Juan over issues of land rights and gentrification that are really popping in Puerto Rico. So why don't we talk about right now the grand juries? I know that Samuel is on the line also, that these grand juries have always been a way to start picking at activists and organizers by the U.S. government.
Hello. My opinion of this is that it's always been the same approach. You start to attack people from the grassroots up and from the base. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, the focus has been on the youth, mm-hmm. or the younger generation. That's where the repression, both in Puerto Rico and here in the United States, has been. In Puerto Rico, they've been stopping people, taking their cell phones, taking their computers, going into people's homes. And in here, that process is beginning to now focus on particularly activists that were at one point or the other involved with the Vieques struggle. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of glad that you brought up the whole question of the Vieques struggle, because I think that the Vieques struggle proved once again that it's not just the Puerto Rican independence movement that was calling for the stopping of the bombing in the island of Vieques, Puerto Rico, but mm-hmm. also across the board. Mm-hmm. You had all the different parties involved in supporting it, and you had all of the different sectors of the community supporting them, from religious groups to labor to student organizations and all of the political parties. More importantly, the base of those parties were active, because we had a lot of people here doing civil disobedience that had previously not been involved with the Puerto Rican independence movement but got involved around the issues of Vieques. So that's very important to understand, that part of what's happening is that with the growth and the expansion of the influence of the Puerto Rican independence movement, that's the need for this recent attack, including the reason for the killing of Filiberto Ojeda Rio. Because it's also very well known that Puerto Rico is getting ready to be presented, the case of Puerto Rico, before the United Nations General Assembly. Mm-hmm. It's been years since that happened.
Well, Samuel, why don't you talk a little bit about your own case and how that can help in some ways the help the younger generation that's going through this process? And also, in your view, has the game changed because of September 11th and the rise of pretty draconian measures against civil liberties throughout the country?
Sure. First of all, in the case of my grand jury resistance, it took place back in 1989. and I was one out of three or four people that were subpoenaed. Two of the subpoenas were quashed. One of them, Nelson Ramirez, was found in civil contempt. And in my case, I was found in civil contempt, but I was in jail because of the campaign and the rallying around my particular situation, which involved that I had had three brain surgeries in less than a year. But specifically in the case of the grand jury, what it is an attempt to try to prevent people from, one is building a building unity as a community and also building unity as a movement and as a people. Because what it does is tries to criminalize different sectors of the movement by basically putting out, and I'm glad that you sort of brought up the whole question with September 11th. Its attempt is to not only criminalize, but to try to say to the Puerto Rican people and the community at large that members of the Puerto Rican independence movement are the ones being persecuted because of so-called criminal or terrorist activities. Back in 1989, that attempt was beaten. And I think it's going to be beaten now because I think that most of the people are aware that it is persecution on a large scale and not on a selective scale, because there's been no criminal charges, number one. And then number two is the people being targeted are all activists that are either identified within their communities of struggle or identified by the Puerto Rican independence movement at large. My position around the cooperation or non-collaboration is that to cooperate is to create a situation of doubt within those that are participating in the struggle, because no one knows what it says, what it said inside the grand jury, know what evidence you're turning in, how it's going to be used. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two is that the FBI in this particular case has also shown photos of different independence activists with the intent to get people to either finger point or blame particular individuals that are active in this movement as being guilty of something. Guilty of what? They're not saying. See, that's the specific notion of this investigation. Everything is clouded. The FBI and the grand jury does not have to be open as to any part of the investigation that they're carrying out and what its purpose are, what are the charges that they're looking to bring up on people. All they have to do is gather that information, and it's in a secret place. That's what the grand jury is.
I know that last week there was I heard that there was 1,500 people who marched in New York City. Here in Los Angeles, there was a rally also. I know in Puerto Rico, if I heard right, it was maybe 2,500 people who were out there in support of these young activists. Where do you see the movement going now in terms of, because as always now, we're going to have to react to this as a real tactic from the U.S. government. What do you see the movement in support of these, not only these three folks, but even the folks in Puerto Rico?
First of all, I can just say this. Back in 1987, 88, 89, there wasn't this type of support. Mm. That's demonstrating something. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that back then there were mobilizations, but in New York City, no mobilization took place of the magnitude that took place this Friday. And I was very happy to have participated in it because the generations that were there were all definitely younger than myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm 47 years old. Mm-hmm. All of them were mostly young folks. So that's been a dramatic change. And I think that's the reason why the younger folks are being targeted. Number one, number two is the diversity of the people that participated. You had university students, you had young people that were members of street organizations, you had people that were social workers, artists, all kinds of artists, very diverse group. And then number three, more importantly, is everybody was unified around resistance around the grand jury. There was no division around that. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that's taking place in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And I'll let Panama speak a little bit more about the situation in Puerto Rico because he was actually out there while I was out here.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Panama, we got about another 2 minutes. Why don't you give us, why don't you tell us what's going on in Puerto Rico and what can also people here in Los Angeles do?
Well, again, I think that what I said before about the response to the murder of Filiberto Ojeda Rios is it reflected a level of consciousness that is not about people being politically affiliated to any political line, but it's a degree of dignity and self-respect that demands that they do not be treated in the way that the United States government is treating the people of Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, as a result of these grand jury subpoenas, people responded. I went to a demonstration in Atorrey on the 10th, in the eve of these young people going to court. And they had to be 1,500 people. This was just like, you know, organized overnight. There were 1,500 people to 2,000 people there, you know, in front of the FBI offices demanding the end of grand jury repression. You know, you can go across political lines, and at the end of the day, a Puerto Rican is a Puerto Rican. They demand respect for their people and their nation. And in Puerto Rico, everyone's clear that Puerto Rico is a nation, that in fact it is a Latin American nation. Mm-hmm. What they have done is, again, taking a great misstep. This is a political agenda. This is not a legal agenda. Mm-hmm. This is a political agenda being implemented through the use of the law enforcement, mm-hmm. the Department of Justice, the FBI. But it has political objectives. And so people are organizing themselves to respond, and more importantly, to respond in a unitary way. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, there's been a lot of factionalism in the past, a lot of it instigated by the own FBI and their operations. Okay, but people were able to surpass, overcome that, and come together around this issue. The young people will be back in court February 1st. And when they go to court, we will be there again. I would hope, and I hear that in L.A., there was a rally in support.
That's right.
And I would hope that you all could get yourselves to organize an even better one on the February 1st.
Well, thank you, Panama Alba and Samuel Sanchez, for being on the show. You know, I think this is an important struggle that will keep you on, will keep you, you know, everybody, the listeners on to
thank
what's
you,
happening on this.
That if people want to get in contact with me and via me to do the grand jury, people can email me
mm-hmm.
at PANAMAALBA, Panama Alba,
mm-hmm.
2@yahoo.com. And we will be happy to get in contact with anyone, okay?
Thank you, Panama. So we'll be right back with Javier Rodriguez on the immigrant rights movement and its struggle through 2008.